Hey guys, just a little PSA before we get started. The audio is a bit poop at times throughout this episode. Yava actually lives in France, so we had to record this on a laptop, Zoomy Teams call thingy. Something that me and Anya have never done before, so please bear with us. We plan that episodes will be recorded in person, but sometimes needs must, and in future should we need to do it again, hopefully we'll have a better technique for your listening pleasure. But for now, we hope you enjoy. Roll the intro.
Hello, welcome back to the Fast XX podcast.
Hello, welcome back.
Today we have got a very special guest. This is our very first guest on the podcast. We've got Yava Bublite.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Go on. No, that's fine. I had to check first if I was going to say it right. I do know Yava, but I know her first name and don't have to say the last name. So Yava, let's have a little introduction. What is it you used to do? So what was that?
So I used to race on circuits. I rode different bikes, beginning with Mini Twins, and then I moved to British Superbikes, which is a obviously a top of the league in UK.
Yeah.
I began with a tri options class, which was really competitive, of course. And then I gradually moved on to an Italian championship where I was riding with a bunch of crazy Italians.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty crazy years of racing. And I was doing it for 3 years, to be precise. And before that, the money ran out. So
I can imagine. Yeah. But how... So superbikes, like, how did you get into superbikes? Yeah. Like, come on, it's not really like an easy thing to get into, is it?
No, it's not like the thing you just kind of... go into, I don't think, generally, you know. Or did it start with something else? Like, did you start somewhere else with riding and then it just kind of progressed to that level?
Yeah, so basically I started riding on road when I was 17. Someone just took me on the back of a bike and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing, the adrenaline, the speed is so cool, I want to ride.
No way.
Yeah, and then next weekend I booked my CBT, which is makes you legal to ride on road at the age of 17.
Yeah.
And then I got my first bike. I was riding like every single day without fail, raining, snowing, every single day. Yeah, exactly. And like for 2 years, I just kept riding, meeting other people, just going for rides in London. I would like come home at like 3 o'clock in the morning after just meeting a bunch of like 20 bikes from London, and then I'd be back home. And obviously my parents would be like, where have you been? Like, are you doing drugs or something? I'm like, no, I'm just riding my bike. It's so cool. So yeah, and then eventually I got this invitation to come ride on track, which is obviously a place where you can go as fast as you want. There's no restrictions. And for me, it was like, yeah, bring me on. Come on, I want to do it. And the first day, I remember it clear as day. It was just perfect. Like, it was my first time on a bigger bike. It was a 600 Suzuki 600 Gixxer.
Yeah.
And I got my knee down like in the third session.
Like, that's like one day, isn't it?
Exactly.
Like, I think that you can't really get your knee down on the roads. Like, there's not really much opportunity for getting your knee down most of the time, unless you're obviously riding pretty blurry.
Yeah,
I mean, roundabout.
If you're a fast, good rider, like, you still, it's not easy. Yeah, you have to have good warmth in your tires, you have to have good road to be able to do it. And I mean, it's not easy, but some people even struggle to do it on track as well.
Yeah.
It can take 3 days of training to actually get down, but I got it down like in the third session. Obviously, I'm like lanky and tall. Still no problem, but like, I just felt such a good vibe from that day. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. So I just kept booking track days and I was like getting competitive. Like, this guy's fast, I'm going to follow him. And it was just so nice for me. And eventually I started asking myself, like, maybe I should start racing.
Yeah.
People around me, like, they were like bikers who were just sticking to the road. They wouldn't really go much into track days or racing.
Yeah.
And I would ask them, like, what do you think about racing? Like, do you think I can do it? They were like, no, no, you can't do it. Like, it's so competitive. Like, it's so, you have to be so fast, so much money. And I was like, okay, well, maybe, yeah, you're right. And then eventually I found some friends who were actually racing, and it made it sound easy. Like, they were like, just get a bike, book your track, book your races, and just go and just do it. Like, yes, it's expensive, but like, you can do it. You don't have to have millions to do it. So at this point I was in college and I started a job in a motorcycle shop, and I told them like, I'm interested in racing, so if you want to help me, I'll come work for you. So I was working, and then they were helping me to prepare my bike for racing.
Oh, cool. That's amazing. You know, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was quite lucky with that. And that's when I started my first season, and that was in Mini Twins in a club championship. And honestly, like, the first race, I had no clue what I will achieve. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I'm going to completely like back out or like just bail and just that's it. But like, the first race I had, I literally came like P5 out of like a full grid.
No, I'm going from the road doing CBT.
Exactly.
Yeah. Getting fifth in your first race.
Exactly, yeah. And it was honestly so good, because the whole weekend it has four races normally in club championships.
Yeah.
So the first race I was like P7 or something, and then the second race I actually missed it because something happened with my bike, and obviously it was my first time dealing with bikes, so I missed it. Like, I didn't have enough time to get my bike ready.
Yeah.
And then I was so angry with myself because I was like feeling this whole vibe. So the third race, I had to start from the back of the grid.
Yeah.
But in my class, in the rookie mini twins, there was actually two separate classes. Oh. So you have two classes on the grid. The first one goes, and 30 seconds later, the second one goes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right.
So when we're doing the whole sighting lap to get onto the grid, I started at the back of the second class.
Oh,
but
no.
My class was in front.
Yeah. No.
So when the lights came off, the first class went, and I'm like, why is everyone around me standing? Everyone's gone. But you guys standing. And I realized I'm with the wrong class. So I just went
Oh, no.
All of the guys, they were already halfway around the track somewhere, but I was just so angry. Like, I've never been so angry my whole life. Oh. And in that race, I ended up P7. I caught everyone up, overtook everyone, and I was like P7. And honestly, that was probably the best race of my whole life. And it was my first race before.
That's amazing. That is so good. That's such a good story. Like, that whole thing. I never asked you. Like, I've never asked you how you got into it. I just thought it was cool that you were into it. I never really asked you. But that's sick that you've just gone from, like, riding on the road and just being like, fuck it, I'm going to go racing. And then you've gone racing, got it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
And smashed it, even though you got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was honestly such a good year. The people were so nice around me. They were helping me all the time because I had problems left, right, and center. So I had this great bunch of people who would always go to the same meetings together and would just help each other out. And even if I was beating some guys, they would still come and help me. Like, you know, it was all friendly. Yeah, we had a few, you know, who were not very happy that a girl is beating them and stuff. But
that's the same in everything, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's the same even if you're a guy sometimes. You still get them people that don't want you to beat them, whether you're a guy or girl. They don't want you to, especially.
Yeah, exactly. But no, overall, I had like 6 podiums in the whole year. And I had my first win. I won my first ever race that same year, and that was in the rain as well, which is extra difficult.
Oh my god.
I know, and like, as a girl, it's actually, for me personally, for girls, it's actually easier to ride smoother, because in the rain
that's exactly what we said, isn't it? Yeah,
you know, you just have to have it one's touch, you know.
We were saying exactly the same thing in our episode.
We said that we just naturally somehow have that smoothness about us and a bit more smarter when it comes to just going.
Although you're aggressive at the same time.
You know when your limits are.
You know when to be and you know when not to be.
Guys don't do that.
No. They are just balls out, aren't they?
Yeah. All or nothing.
All they see is for that, I just want to be there and that's it. They don't think how they're gonna get there. They're just there. I'm just gonna go full gas.
When I won that race, when I had that race, the one that I won, it was already raining, and most of the guys knew that I was actually quite good in the rain.
Yeah.
And it was the one guy who was leading a championship, and he knew that I'm good in the rain.
Yeah.
So when the lights went off, he was first because he wanted to get a head start. And the second corner, this was in Brands Hatch circuit. Yeah. Not the second corner, the third corner down. He just binned it because he was just being aggressive. He wanted to get ahead of me. Yeah. And I was like, I'm second. Now I'm leading the race.
Yeah.
And it was like the longest seven laps of my
whole yeah, life. I can imagine. Always the case, isn't it?
I was leading the whole race, and only on the last lap that someone overtook me. But I was like, "There is no way you're taking this. I am going to overtake you." And I overtook them like two corners left, and they were like, "No, I'm not going to fight this girl. She wants it so bad."
Yes, you have
it. And like honestly, I won that race, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I was in tears. It was just so good.
That's so good. The term in the determination behind you, like,
yeah,
it's just so good, and it's so good to hear. Like, I think a lot of other people, like, it's good for them to hear that, because I don't know, you never see that. You always see that people win, or they do well, or they ride a bike, or like, just to hear that you had that, and there was only you that pushed you towards that. You haven't had that. Oh, my parents did this, or my brother did this, or you know, some uncle or something.
Yeah.
You've literally just gone, oh, I really like a bike. I'm going to go ride it, and then I'm going to go race it, and then I'm going to go smash it as well against all the lights. That's pretty sick. But then how did you, so then you went from doing that championship, and then how did that then get you to the British BSB?
Well, someone actually just was speaking to me and just saying, oh, we're planning on joining the tri options class. Maybe you want to come ride with us. And at first I was like, no, that's too competitive. It's crazy. Like, there's no way I can compete in that. And then eventually I started thinking into it. Oh, maybe. And the question kept creeping up. And I thought, okay, well, I'll try. And I was actually lucky. I got offered a ride by a team.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the team was not the right team for me, and things went downhill like after a couple of rounds. After that, well, in general, the beginning wasn't great for me because I wasn't with the right team, didn't have the right bike and stuff. And then eventually someone else helped me, so I was able to get a sponsor who bought me a bike. And then a team actually accepted me to be with them. They weren't fully able to take me in as a rider, but they could support me a little bit on the side.
Yeah.
So this season I was literally just looking after my own bike. I had a little bit of help from mechanics and stuff, but it was literally myself, my mom and my sister, and that's it. It was just the three of us, you know, trying to complete this season.
Yeah, girl gang.
Yeah, but overall, like, I got some good results. I've made big progress and stuff, and someone from Italy saw me, and obviously I was trying to be active on social media, which is also very important. And they invited me to ride in Italy, and for the next year I decided to go to Italy because it's the top level in Italian championship. And when you go to European championship, you actually open up even more doors to go to the world championships. What I was trying to do. So, yeah, even though the British Championship is amazing, but it kind of restricts.
It's so hard, to get from British, like even all the British riders now that are in British superbikes and whatever, they struggle to get anywhere else in the future, don't they?
Yeah.
It's so hard to make that jump. Whereas if you're already like on the continent in Europe somewhere, at least, it kind of makes.
It feels like you're a bit closer to
that. Bridging that gap,
Yeah, like, even though I did want to stay in UK, but I thought of the bigger picture and I just...
Definitely. Do you think the reason... Well, obviously, you said earlier that the reason why was because it came down to money. Mm. Do you think that's the case, like, not just you as a girl or whatever, just the case in general of why a lot of people have to then give it a rest? Like, especially in that sport, like, I don't mean, like, you can become, you know, in motocross and things like that, you can still compete at an almost pro level.
Yeah.
It is a lot more difficult when you haven't got the money, but you can still compete at that level. Yeah. Whereas I feel like on superbikes, is that a lot harder to even compete if you haven't got the money, never mind compete at a pro level?
Yeah, for sure. Money is probably the one and only thing stopping people from racing because most of the riders that I was actually racing with is either they have their own business, so they have the money to actually spend on their hobby. Otherwise, it will be people who have been in the paddock for 20 years or so. It's people who have their sons. So they're bringing their sons. They have all the contacts. They can get all the sponsorship. They have, you know, every single team, and they can just bring someone in, no problem. Yeah. If you don't have the money and you don't have the contacts, then you literally, it's either luck or you just stop. And for me, obviously, I had no one. My whole contact and my whole partners were from scratch. So I was trying, of course, to build my all of my image and all of my contact as much as possible. But there comes to a point where you can't just, you know, come up and say, can you give me 30 grand to someone else, like 1 year, you know?
That's the thing. It's just super expensive as well. It's not just...
Yeah, because there's such a big leap between like going from dirt type racing to superbikes. Like the cost is just astronomical compared to, you know, you can still go and race at the MX Nationals if you wanted to. Way less money than what it cost you for one round at VSB.
But you just look at things, you look at things like tires,
tires,
plastic, like things like that. If you crash a superbike,
you need a whole set of fairings.
You crash one of them, you're probably like the bike's almost, depending what happens, if it does a couple of cartwheels and stuff, it's probably totaled. Let an MX bike do it, you know, a few cartwheels, you just go, oh yeah, I'll pick it up, put the lever back up or something, you know. You'll be good to go. So we can totally understand, and that's the only thing that stopped you, which is obviously like, it's so gutting to sit here and talk to you. You can see that passion. Like, just to sit here and talk, you can hear it, you can see it. Like,
just how you're talking about it. You can tell how much.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh, no, don't.
We don't want tears.
No, even if they are let's not do that. But it is, like, honestly, like, just from our point of view as well, obviously, we do a bit of riding, but it's just so good to see that it's still out there and there are people that... just give it their everything and just love something so much. Like, it's amazing. We've got a few questions from your fans. And one of them, we've gone through one, which was, how did you start racing, your racing history? We've obviously done that one. The other one is, how do the lads take being beaten by a girl?
Well, as I said, there were people who were okay with it and they would continue helping me and stuff, but there were some people who would purposely make my life harder.
Yeah.
For example, there was one race where someone took me out on purpose, and it was actually a rider that wasn't riding in the best way either. He did it to a few other people as well. But it was really frustrating because it's not like you can just go and punch them like after the race get back at them, because that's straight away your image ruined as well. So it's like,
it's hard.
You can't really do much, and you get these kind of accidents happen, but you just have to get on with it and just, you know, karma will get there, you know, get him back. So
I think it's always the same. Like, it'd be the same in anything, wouldn't it? If you beat a guy in something, I think a lot of time though, it's not with them. It's when they get off and their mates go, "You just got beat." We come off and you're like, you don't mind it, but they don't. They hate it.
They hate it. Yeah.
But just that, do you feel like that? You know, the reward's almost different if you beat people that are like that and that would take you out. Is the reward different, or do you not really? That doesn't really bother you at all.
I mean, I never really pay attention. To me, I've always been racing with guys. Every single time, I was the only girl on the grid.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it feels like to not race with guys or be with girls only, which is something that would actually be really cool, and I would love to do it. But because I'm always with guys, I kind of just put it behind me and just not think about what they think, because I was there to have fun. Like, I don't care what they think. I'm here to race. I'm here to improve my skills. I'm here to get faster, you know? So if someone's got, like, some attitude to me, about me or something, like, I completely ignore it. I don't care.
That's great. That's a bit like us. We do the same thing, because I just think you'd get the same if it's a guy or a girl.
You
don't ever feel that that's for a reason. You don't think, only because I'm a girl, they're being like that. Well, no, because they took out other people as well.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they're just heading for people. They just want to, their way of racing is maybe to take people out rather than actually beat you with the skill. Yeah. So it's never like it's because I'm a girl. But
I mean, like, even if you are a girl, for example, you have a girl who's younger than you, like maybe she's like 15 and she's faster than you, you don't want to say, oh, she's faster than me and she's 10 years old, younger than me. Well, no, you still would. I don't care if you're a guy younger than me or older than me. I don't care if you have one arm or something. And people, like, literally with one arm, they would overtake you. And you're not going to say, oh, he's beat me because he's got one arm. Like, you can't.
I've been beaten by a guy with one arm.
Actually, we watched the video the other day, actually. Yeah. Do you know what? You're almost like more, amazed.
I was just blown away.
Yeah, and you have to respect them because they have the skills. They put their work into it to get faster than you. You know, you can't be like, oh, I can't believe he's beating me. Well, no, that's amazing that he's beating you. Like, can you imagine how hard it is?
That's how we sat there and thought. You weren't like against him. You were just like, wow.
No, I could not
you
believe
it. You said it on the video.
I went, oh my God, he's got one fucking arm.
Oh, and it's honestly, I fully respect that. Yeah, I fully respect everything that people achieve and how they get their skills. Like, there are some young kids out there who are just so fast, and you just respect that they even have the confidence. Yeah, like, the older I'm getting right now, this more scared I'm becoming. So people ask, are you going to go back racing? I'm like, I don't know if I'll have the confidence now that I did like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was one of the questions as well, actually. So you just kind of answered that yourself. Yeah, somebody said, like, would you go back to racing again? And I'm guessing they mean on the superbike. So is that something you would do, or is you kind of like you've moved on to other things now and going to focus on them?
If money wasn't like a worry, a concern, then yeah, for sure I would. Like, I would get a bike, start training again from scratch and just try it. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm not at a stage where I can just spend thousands into money anymore. Like, I'm not 19 years old anymore. I want to have a life and build something for the future and stuff. So maybe eventually I'll get lucky, and if my projects pay off, I can start racing again. Yeah. But at the moment, I'll stick to breaking bones instead of breaking my wallet. What's currently doing for me?
Because I think it's hard, though, because obviously when you've got sponsors and stuff that you have to, like, show up for, it obviously gives you more, like, pressure to, you don't want to crash because then you've got to fork out more money, you know, to fix the bike and all that kind of stuff. Whereas obviously if you're paying for it yourself, you kind of just, you do whatever you're doing and you enjoy the whole process, don't you? Whereas obviously when there's the pressure from, like, having to try and do better all the time, or, you know, not spend other people's money all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And when you do it for yourself, like, it's a lot more fun because you just don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
So that's why right now I'm just not even thinking about the circuits anymore. I'm just thinking about some MX, doing it for fun because it's cheap. Like, say you crash, you can just continue riding again. You don't have to spend $2,500 to repair a bike or something. Yeah. Exactly. It's just zero pressure, and I know it's harder and it's a bit more expensive on your body, but
you've had one injury, like, so far, haven't you, since leaving superbikes and going on to motocross? You've already had one injury, haven't you? What was that like? It was a knee. Was it, you broke your knee?
Yeah, my ACL and exterior ligament as well. So it was like it was actually the only
injury, though. Welcome to
the world of motocross.
Yeah, like, I've never had any bad injuries, even though I've had quite a few big crashes on the superbikes.
See, that's crazy in itself. Like, I would automatically think, like, as soon as you come off a superbike, like, you're going so fast and, like, it's tarmac. Come on, it's hard tarmac. Like, you'd think that, like, it would hurt so much more, or you'd do more damage, sorry, not hurt so much more.
Yeah. To be fair, though, it's like you end up, like, sliding a lot more.
Yeah,
there's such a runoff. Like, you know, obviously people do go in the barrier, don't they? But there's such a runoff usually that you can kind of get away with it most of the time.
So with motocross, you've got too many. Like, you're probably gonna hit the face of a jump
or a fence,
hit a rut, a rut off the other side of it, or a rock, or another bike runs over you, like.
The chances of you crashing in motocross is a lot higher than it is on racing and on circuits.
Yeah.
Like you say, the runoff is big and you have such good protection on you. Like, every single part of your body is so protected. And now you've got the airbags. So even if you have a high side, you can probably still walk away and carry on racing, no problem. But in motocross, you have stupid crashes. Like my crash, it was the dumbest crash you could ever imagine.
It always is, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. And honestly, like, I could be, like, when we were riding together, I was jumping jumps and I would just crash, like, from the top of the jump somewhere and I'll be fine. But this crash that happened to me, I was in a corner It was like the last session of the whole day. I was loving life. It was the first time riding after lockdown, like 8 months not riding. And I was like, yeah, like I've got so much energy. I'm going to get low. And then that last corner, I was like, can you please take a picture of me? So someone
said, oh, no. Oh, no. As soon as the camera comes out.
Yeah, always.
Camera came out. I'm like, yeah, this is my last corner, my last session of the day, going to this corner. And I got so low and I got so excited. Coming out the corner, like I wasn't looking where I was going. I just went over the rut, and that's it. It was like five miles an hour crash, and my leg just got stuck into the mud and just twisted, and that's it. Like it couldn't be any more stupid than that. Like, oh.
Well, the big question: did you get the picture?
No.
It wasn't even worth it.
No.
Oh,
I'm just gutted now.
I know. But yeah, that was 8 months. Actually, before I even got my surgery, I had to wait 6 months to get my paperwork done here in France, where I am now. And then 6 months extra after surgery before I can start riding again. So it's like 1 year off the bike.
Yeah,
and only now I'm starting to get back on the bike again. I never thought I would say this, but mentally wise, it's like the hardest thing right now. I'm constantly fighting with myself and just trying not to think about what happened, because every time I'm in the corner, I think about what's happening. So
yeah, that's another thing with us girls though. When you say like girls ride different, we do overthink things.
Yeah,
we do.
I don't care what some people say, and they go, "No, I don't overthink something."
Like, I'll go back to a track I've not been to for years and remember a crash I had there like 5 years ago. And be like, oh, God, this might happen again.
Yeah, and even though it was nothing stupid. And that was something stupid. You just went over the side, which you're probably not gonna do again.
Yeah,
but you're like, what if I do?
And then you don't go into a corner as hard ever again, or that corner as hard ever again if you go back to that track.
Until you keep doing it, don't think about it, think about something else. Keep going. Yeah. And then you're probably going to, you get it out of your mind eventually. But I think we overthink things a little bit more. So it takes us a little bit longer just to get over something.
I hold on to those
something.
Things a lot longer, yeah.
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 So another one of our questions was, would you race anything else in the future? Like your motocross that you're doing now, do you think you're going to race that in the future, or are you just doing that for fun?
I would like to race for fun.
for fun.
No pressure. Like maybe eventually, I'm not even bothering thinking about the higher championships because again, I'm not even at the good stage to even consider that. But for fun, yes, there's local championships, regional championships, which are really competitive. The guys are really fast, so it's good enough for you to actually compete with them.
Yeah. And you feel that adrenaline to like, obviously, you're obviously very competitive because you've done really well in super high stuff. So you want to get that buzz. It is completely different, isn't it, to just riding, going to a track and riding.
Yeah.
In race, you also improve so much more, but...
Yeah,
it's mainly that adrenaline that you get from it, isn't it? There's something about it that just makes you want to race and beat someone, and beat people. Like, I don't know, even if you don't win, it's in a sport that obviously we've gone from other sports and you enter something else. So all three of us have started on something. So enduro or motocross or something. You've tried a mountain bike. I've tried an enduro race. You're going to try motocross. You know, it's completely different. And you're probably going to not be number one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just want to beat someone.
Yeah, you just don't want to come last, do you? You just want to go and just feel like you've
done something.
Don't
it's
you?
That buzz, isn't it? And
it is.
Obviously, you've come off your super bikes, not got that now because you've had an injury, and now you want to go. So it is something you want to go towards. You don't want to just practice all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually weird because normally people go from motocross to super bikes, whereas opposite.
Yeah.
And normally when guys go from motocross to super bikes, they actually have the confidence to be aggressive and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas like super bikes, it's not as aggressive as it is in motocross. So it's kind of, I have to train myself to be aggressive and be close to people, get my elbows out and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Do you tuck your elbows in and put your knees out?
I do, like, yeah. I do.
Does it end up happening?
Because, like, the style of riding, sometimes I have to force myself, like, to stop doing it because I naturally still do it when I'm on a motocross bike. And it's like,
It's like the total opposite, isn't it?
Yeah.
Opposite. Although it's a bike, if anyone just looked and think, oh, it's just riding a bike, you know, the people that don't ride bikes.
Yeah.
But it's literally completely different.
Yeah, it's like...
You're like lean with a super bike. You need your elbows. You want your elbows and your knees kind of like on the floor, don't you? Yeah. You want to lean with it. You want your whole body to pull it over.
Yeah.
But with a motocross bike, it's like your inside arm is the straight one. Your outside arm's the bent one.
Yeah, you're like hanging on the other side of the bike.
and your legs are just out.
Yeah.
legs. We've not got two legs. No.
Yeah, it's like this. And obviously you have to be like as fully tucked in as possible on a super bike. And whereas here, it's like, if your elbow's not out, you look like a goon, you know? Yeah. You look like a little turtle.
Yeah, but the turtle just going along.
Yeah, so, no, I definitely wanted to try some racing for fun. And just the feeling of having, like, 40 riders in one line all going for the same direction. It's like, that must feel awesome. Like, it was scary, but I'm sure it's so cool. So I can't wait to try that out. And, I will just see.
It's one
step
of the
forward experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Like the just I don't know what it is. It obviously is adrenaline, but you don't feel it at the time, do you? You feel like exactly. You sat there and you're just like, oh my god, everyone's revving. I'm gonna rev too.
Yeah.
Everyone else is revving.
And as soon as you see that like 15-second board,
you're like,
oh no.
Do I fail?
Do I
survive?
Everyone's
so you just do the same and they all look down. You're like, okay, I'll look down too.
Yeah. And then miss it anyway.
Yeah, miss it or go into it.
Yeah.
I usually go into it. It closes on my front tire because I've gone too soon.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Gavin. Just wait for it. Wait for
it. I'll try.
Go down and then go.
Oh, God. You guys are making me excited for it.
Well, I'm sure you're going to smash it. You're probably going to come back on and tell us, oh, yeah, by the way, I did my first motocross race and I got like fifth.
Oh gosh, I don't know, we'll see. But as long as I can get enough training just to get my confidence back, because right now mentally I just have to forget about the crash and just move on and just you know, try my best to just get better and improve my skills and stuff, and then we'll see. But yeah, the class is not crazy competitive. The guys, like, yeah, they're okay. And actually I found that the guys here in France are actually a bit more aggressive than they are in UK.
If it's anything like, I don't know. When I've been to France, their driving is pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
So if they're a motocross riding is anything like their driving, I can
that's
see
why
it.
The French are so fucking good though. How many years have they won MX Nations?
Really? Don't they?
I mean, you have to admit, the weather here is better than it is in UK, that's for sure. It's so many tracks and it's so cheap. Like in UK, the tracks is like 35-40 euro.
It's going up. It's going up. And it's going up.
No.
It was like, it used to be 25, then 30, 35. Some do 40 now. Yeah, I'm not sure if some 40. Are 45, are they? But
maybe
not many. But what is it for a ride over there in France?
It's like, if you're part of a local club, it's 10 euros per day.
No.
And it's open. It's no sessions. It's open. Imagine
We move in France,
That's not here.
Yeah. That's crazy how we can charge that much here.
Yeah,
it's so cheap over there. And that's where you can see that that's probably what's harder over here for us to have. We have some really, really good UK riders, guys, girls, the lot. Yeah. We have really, really good. But, if you haven't got loads of money, again, that's going to stop you.
Because it's not just going to the track, is it? It's the whole fuel for your bike, fuel getting food for the day, washing all your kit, washing your bike, like all the time and effort and money that goes into it. Obviously, it's not just paying 10 euros to turn up at a track, is it?
You know,
there's a lot that goes into it to even get to the track to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can see how they're...
And our fuel's more expensive here.
Yeah.
Everything's more expensive here. But I think that's why...
Good move, Gavin.
I think that's why tracks probably are more expensive here as well, though, because everything else just costs... Like, everything here just costs so much more money.
Yeah, for sure.
Other places, so you pay the price as well then when you pay to go and do something, don't you?
Definitely,
And to be honest, there's not that many tracks in UK either, whereas here you have, like, 10 to choose from within 2 hours around you. No,
that's
actually,
amazing.
Four.
Crazy.
15, yeah.
Are they all different, like, textures? Like, over here we have a bit of sand, some are hard, some are wood chip, but we don't have, like...
They're a bit more hard pack. there's not wood chip at all. It's more actually hard pack tracks, and if it's raining, they will maintain it, and it can get a bit wet and like soggy, but normally it's more hard pack.
Still runs pretty well, like even when it's wet.
Yeah, when it's wet, it's just hard pack and slippery.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's not many ruts to work with, which is why normally British guys or people from Holland, where there's a lot of sandy tracks, they're quite good with that. And the French are normally good with the hard pack. Yeah. So like Supercross, they'll be good with Supercross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, but in general, the tracks
are not much variety then.
Yeah.
As far as track, like we're quite lucky with that.
We have a bit of variety.
Tracks here, are pretty varietalized.
Yeah, that's what one thing that's good in UK, you've got a lot of ruts to play with, whereas here it's hard to find a track that you can practice ruts with.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to like Italy or something, or somewhere a popular track, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's quite good that you can just drive across to them. That's pretty cool that, you know, if you have got a camper, or, you know, a lot of people here have got vans that are campers as well. Just drive across. We have to, all right, it's not really that bad for us getting the ferry over, but at least you have a, you know, a good variety of things. And
So,
one last thing is, would you, like, what would you recommend for anyone trying to get into even the superbike? So obviously you started when you were quite late. So when did you start racing? 18, 19?
I don't know. So 17, 18, I think 19, yeah. I think I was 19.
So you started racing at 19. Like really, if you think about it, that's late. Like a lot of people lot of people start riding a bike when they're 5 years old.
Yeah, because like to say that you only started riding a bike when you were 17, that is quite late to get into something like that, isn't it, really?
Like if you got into it that late and you could do it just from riding a bike as a CBT, you haven't got anyone else in your family to do it, like what would you say to someone that thinks, oh well, you know, I wanted to give it a go but I can't do it, like the people that told you no, you can't do it, you can't go race? What would you give to someone that said to you, oh, I really want to race, what can I do?
Yeah, what would be the best avenue to go down?
Well, first of all, the one thing that I've learned while racing is that anything is possible if you really, really want it. Like, you've got no excuse. You can make anything possible. Yeah. And if you are in my position, like I was in before, and you had no contacts, then you literally, your one and only job is to just find sponsorship. So you have to work on your image. You have to work on social media, even though people will say like, oh, why did you keep posting stuff? Like no one really cares, but they do care. People are following you.
Yeah.
When I was racing with the British Championship boys, some of them would make fun of me and they'd be like, oh, why do you keep posting? Like you're posting on the bike, blah, blah. I don't care. That's what gets the views. That's what makes my profile more popular. That's what gets the sponsors interested. That's what's going to give me money. I don't care if you think I'm posing on a bike. Like, you can keep your opinion to yourself, you know? So
I love your attitude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's, I mean, there's girls that do it for fun, but there's people who also do it for their sponsors.
Yeah. It's like a business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
people so promote their business, they will advertise their business.
And it's
you're
not
basically
like
promoting your racing series. You're not promoting you, you're promoting your racing series.
Yes.
Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to win. These are my sponsors.
And at
these
the
are
the
people
the day,
that are
like,
helping me and making this possible.
But if people are going to take the piss, it's like, it's not like you are shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you get some people that are fucking shit, you know, and they, no offense, well, whatever. You know, some people are crap and they try to get so much out of people.
Yeah. And they do.
What? Yeah, and they do.
And they do get it because they do exactly what you've said.
What you've said, yeah.
So why not? If you really want something and you want to get somewhere, the only way you're going to do that is by pushing yourself.
Yeah.
Advertising yourself and saying what you want to do, where you want to go. And you can see when some people have the love for it.
Yeah.
Like you can see in you and you can see in your face. And like when you're posting stuff, you're posting it because you want this dream to become a reality.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit there and go, well, tried, but I didn't really try because I didn't put what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about putting the effort and the work into it. When I was racing, the same guys that would take a piss out of me, like 2 years later, I see them posting the same stuff as well because they realized
that's what you're
working.
Yeah.
It's like, No, one thing, don't ever think about what other people think of you, because it doesn't matter. They're not going to be the ones giving you money. It's going to be other people, more important people giving you money. So always work on your image. It's actually, I find it quite annoying always being on social media, which is why sometimes I just post a picture and I just get off my phone, because I just don't want to be on social media, especially in these current times right now. It's not easy for everyone.
Yeah.
And but it's hard. It's hard work. You have to be constantly posting. You have to be interacting with other people, because if you don't, then your profile will not be shared to everyone. I'm not giving you social media advice.
Not for anyone listening.
Yeah, if you're going to go off here and start posting,
if you see us posted 24/7 now, I'm going to put 5 posts an hour. That's too much.
We'll be contacting
people
you.
People will be unfollowing me.
You have social media services.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, as funny as it is, that's the only way you'll be able to increase your image and just get the sponsorship. There's no other way around it, because
if no one knows you, no one knows you. Exactly. You know what I mean? You're a nobody.
Yeah. So it's like the determination to become a winner or a racer, let's say. Even the determination just to become a racer goes further than you going to the gym, to you riding the bike, your mental, like, your mental
preparation.
Mental
strength.
No, I was going to say your mentality.
Mentality.
I lost my train of thought now.
Your mentality. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I was going with my mentality.
No. Well.
Anyway.
Yeah, it goes further than just doing the job in hand.
Yeah.
There's other jobs you have to do too.
Yeah.
For everybody, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Because at the end of the day, sponsors, you know, there was a time, obviously pre-social media, where people had sponsors and they didn't really have to do anything about it, because you knew it got televised or whatever, and it was on the bike, it was on pictures if they got posted in MCN or whatever, you know. Whereas now, like, sponsors, it's only fair that they do get something back out of it, that you're putting the effort in as well, not just on track, but obviously promoting, not necessarily them, but obviously the more pictures you're posting with them on it, it gets people intrigued and talking, thanking of your sponsors and everything. Obviously,
social
gets,
media is one of the biggest advertisements. It used to be newspaper, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
whereas
magazines, or,
you know, now
how many times now do you see do you pick up a magazine yourself? Like, you don't really go and pick one up, do you now?
No,
and,
never.
You know, so social media is the biggest thing. And
Why not use the most of it when it's free, you know?
Well, you've definitely inspired us. I'm going to say that much, because like, even just that, listen, it's just amazing to hear that determination and, you know,
the passion.
Hopefully a lot of people listening will see that in you as well and hear it in you. And just,
yeah, and if someone's been wanting to give some a go.
Yeah, give it a go.
Give it a go.
Or if anyone wants to sponsor a lady. You know, one for your new motocross career.
Yeah.
I was gonna say for Superbikes, but you don't really want to do that. Well, no, you would if you had.
We'll see. See where the road takes us.
But anyway, amazing. Like, literally, you've definitely inspired us, and we nearly made you cry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I did have a tear coming down, but
but no, definitely, if anyone wants to get into it, and especially like girls, just go for it.
Yeah.
Just, if you want to go and do your CBT and go riding, we've just seen that it can happen. And
well, like, you don't need to wait for any, you know, if you haven't got any mates that do it, you'll find some once you do it. You know, there's always loads of cafes and meetups and all sorts of
bikes. People always think you have to have got into it as a kid and like rode when your dad's put you on
a
you know, a motocross bike or something. So it's just amazing to hear. And Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see you back in the UK soon for some
rides.
Or snowboarding if we get there.
Or mountain biking.
We can do anything. Women of many sports.
Jack of all trades. Master of none.
All the gear, no idea, like everyone says.
You have to shake it till you...
Shake it till you make it.
That one.
Anymore?
Yeah,
anyone?
No. Getting a bit cheesy
now. Right, okay, thank you very much for coming on, Yava.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.